I wanted to take a look at the text of the Ala Nisim. And the text of the Ala Nisim is very, very puzzling. Principally, there are two miracles around which Hanukkah centers. There's the Nes of the Melchoma and the Nes of the Neiros. And as I mentioned, Shabbos of Aaron Kotta, Zecha Tzadik Levrocha, it's certainly from the first night and on, Rashi says the Sha'os of Nisim goes on the Nes of the Neiros. So we're certainly celebrating these two Nisim. We light the Neiros to celebrate the Nes of the Neiros. So then we come to the text of the Ala Nisim. And the text in Ala Nisim talks about the details and the broad description, but nevertheless details which are relevant to the victory in the war. And we should have come up short because there are two indices which measures military strength. That's numbers and quality of the troops. Either one can be decisive. If you have a battle between both of them, it's an interesting battle. If one side has both, the likelihood of its losing is very, very small. So here we lack both. This is a whole description of what took place. We were saved from the Greeks. After that, we came to the Migdash, to the Heichal. We cleaned it up. We put the Getchkes, the Avodah Zarah, we hauled out. The Tiaru of Migdashach, we retired it. We lit Neiros. The Neis of the Menorah disappears. What happened to it? Swallowed up. The Gemara spells it out. It's not a figment of our imagination. The Gemara says, "Lahoyim bayalul lahadlik yom echad," and it burned for 8 days. It comes to Ala Nisim. Everything, our whole story about the war, which the Gemara in fact gives very little detail about, only Kishenot Nitzchum, when we defeated the Greeks, without much mention of what was involved in that. And that's what it does talk about, the nace of the Menorah, we didn't have oil, we found Pach Echot Shal Shemen, Chesav Moshal Kohen Gadol, all of that got left somewhere, you know, was edited out. So what happened? This has always puzzled me. With the pshat and all of these. So, we'll explore this from a number of different angles until we'll come to something which I believe is ultimately, the real resolution of the problem. But it's puzzling. Now, the first thing we have to consider is which is the essence of Hanukkah. Was Hanukkah made from both miracles simultaneously? Was it made for the miracle of the Muhammad? Was it made for the miracle of the oil burning for 8 days? On which nets? What exactly is Chag about? Now, that's also up in the air. The Gemara mentions both. In a commentary on Masechta Shabbos on the Gemara in Bava Madlikin, the Maral of Prague writes that the essence of Hanukkah was made because of the fact that we defeated the Greeks. To such an extent is he so sure of this that he has to kasha on himself. He says, if that's the case, then how come the Gemara says in the sequence of events surrounding Hanukkah that we won victory over the Greeks, we came to the Migdash, we lit the menorah, it burned for 8 days, and the Shana, the next year, they enacted the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. What was the 1 year delay? When we defeated Haman, do we need a 1 year delay? The first year after, we celebrate. If it had to do with the Nes of the Neiros, we understand. Because until the Nes of the Neiros, they were not going to celebrate the Yontif. Now it was the Nes of the Neiros, so, Yontif is over. When we saw it burned for 8 days. So now we know there was a Nes, so next year we'll celebrate when we come back to the 25th. So that would have been a resolution of the problem. But the Maharal of Prague is absolutely certain that the Yontif was enacted because of the victory in the Mulcham. What was the role of the Neiris, according to him? The role of the Neiris was merely to catch our attention. There are Nisim that are hard to ignore. Kriyas Yamsev is a hard Nis to ignore. There are Nisim that we very comfortably ignore. And some are in the middle. Hanukkah was in the middle, but it was also ignored. We did not take it to be anything supernatural. And of course, everything that takes place in the world is directed by the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's true. But that there was anything, any supernatural event that took place, this did not appear to be supernatural. Which is itself puzzling, because if it was Rabban Biad Ma'atim and Giborim Biad Chaloshim, that ought to give one pause. But yet, the history of warfare is never absolute. The weak win on some days, for a myriad of reasons. And they felt, you know, it's their home territory, better motivation, better knowledge of the land, all the factors which can contribute somehow led to their victory. Until they bumped into something which could not be explained away. Once they saw the nace of the menorah, this gave them pause. That means the Rabbeinu Shalom was presently disposed to do nisim for them, nisim gluyim, outside the realm of Teva. So now they went back and they first restudied the war. And now they came to the conclusion that we will not touch Chachamim. We were not so capable. All our reasons don't really add up. It's about tshuva. We studied in the military academy in West Point. Now, in the army in West Point studies every known battle in history. If there's a battle in history that's known, that they have the facts on, so they put it under scrutiny. Everything that they know about it, and the number of forces which were used, and the topography, and the tactics, etc. And they study it, every battle in history, to see what they could learn from it. From ancient times, modern times, medieval times, makes no difference. But there was one glaring absence, and that was the wars of the Bible, of the Tanakh, they did not study, they did not scrutinize in West Point. This fellow, I don't believe he was from at this point. I believe he became from afterwards, but he was rather puzzled. He was Jewish, and he was aware of the Tanakh, and there were wars discussed in the Tanakh. And how come they don't discuss the wars in the Tanakh? So one day in class, he raises his hand, and he says, "Officer, tell me." He says, "Why don't we discuss the wars of the Bible? We study every other type of war that's ever taken place in history." And the officer very sternly said to him, he says, "I'll see you in my office later." He didn't know what he did, but okay, in West Point, the officer says, "Show up at his office." He comes to his office later, and he says, "Sir, I mean, I hope I didn't offend in any way. I just wanted to understand." He says, "Let me tell you." He says, "The reality is, we have studied the battles in the Tanakh as well. We've studied all of them, but there are none of them that make any sense at all according to the military science that we understand, and." If we were to adopt things that took place, they would have to throw everything that we know about military science out, because it does not fit in with anything that we have. They're totally inexplicable from our standpoint, all the battles in the Bible. And therefore, we just can't study them. We cannot integrate them into the course of study. There are no lessons that we could draw from them. So he realized subsequently, when he was thinking about tshuva, what the officer was really telling him was that the Yad Hashem, the divine intervention, if one studies it from a professional viewpoint, is so blatant that it doesn't relate to warfare which takes place without the direct nisim of the Rabbeinu Shalom on the battlefield. So they came to grips with that. Oh, it wasn't our chokhmah, it wasn't our motivation, it wasn't the geography, it wasn't our love of country. The Rabbeinu Shalom settled the battle. So a year later we came back, and we enacted the Chag to celebrate the victory over the Greeks. That's the Chag. So perhaps from that standpoint, we could say, well, okay, if the Yonder was enacted for this reason, and the Ness of the Neiris was really peripheral, was only to bring out that which took place in the battle, perhaps that's the reason that is not mentioned in the Al HaNisim. The Al Anisim focused on the main point. But, as I say, maybe, but to be satisfied with that answer, not quite. I mean, Sof Kol Sof, the mess of the neighbors, is so significant, it plays a role in Hanukkah. What happened to it? So I went further. I didn't stop at this point. I came now to consider the role of Nisim altogether. What is the role of Nisim in Klal Yisrael? Very interesting question. And the Rambam writes, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is in the 8th parak of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Moshe Rabbeinu lo haminu bo Yisrael mitnei ha'isu she'osa. Moshe Rabbeinu, well, what apparently seemed to have established his bona fides with miracles. Right? He asked the Rabbeinu Shalom, give me an oiz. And the Rishon tells him, Zelecha ha'oiz ki anochi shlachticha. And he comes, and he throws the snake, the stick down, it turns into a snake, etc. He puts on a show. So we would think that Moshe Rabbeinu was established because he was a miracle man. So the Rambam says, Lo haminu bo yisom ne'a oisa sha'asa. This is not ultimately what established the faith in Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is this? Shehamaymen, this maybe started Moshe Rabbeinu off. But Shehamaymen al pi oisis, if you believe in someone because of miracles, yesh b'libo doifi. You always have a certain measure of skepticism too. Maybe there was some type of kishuf that was involved. Maybe ultimately there's some type of sleight of hand that was involved. Houdini used to challenge all the people that claimed that they were capable of, you know, black magic. He said, anything that they claim to do, I will do without any black magic at all. Any effect that they can produce, I'll produce the same thing. And I absolutely guarantee it will be nothing more than sleight of hand. How do you know? Sof Kol Sof. That's why, in fact, the Achronim tell us, Ksav Sofer talks about it, why did Moshe Rabbeinu appear in Mitzrayim? Why is the venue where the Jews are enslaved Mitzrayim and Moshe Rabbeinu appears on the world stage in Mitzrayim? Because Mitzrayim was the master of Kishuv. I mean, you want to show you something, if you go and you made it in Tuscaloosa, you know, that doesn't show anything. You know, you come and you say, listen, you played Broadway and you were a hit. Okay, now we take notice of you. But in Tuscaloosa, you know, all types of, you know, small fry that never go anyplace can be stars in Tuscaloosa. So Moshe Rabbeinu came, they'll say, listen, where did you go? You went to America? What do they know about Kishuv in America? You know, anybody could put on a show in America and get away with it. If you want, you come to Mitzrayim, where we have Mechashvim, we have Chatumim, that can you be world class, and if your act could cut the mustard here, then you'll make an impression. Yeah. So Moshe Rabbeinu Daska had to come and have the Nisim take place in Mitzrayim. And Paro brings the Chartumim and the Mechashvim to confront them. And they finally concede, that's Balokim, this is beyond Kishuv. Kishuv has its goal. That's it, we've been overmatched. Only in Mitzrayim could he establish his bona fides. And yet, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is just a more effective Mechashev. He discovered new methods of Kishuv that are beyond anything that Mitzrayim knew about. So Isis are not ultimately for the purpose of establishing Moshe Rabbeinu's bona fides. El HaKala Isa Isha Osa Moshe B'Midbar, all the miracles that he did in the Midbar is for one reason, not to show that he was another Emes, but Leviat Tzayra Chasov, they were only done because they were necessary. Lo Lahavi Rayal Anavua, not to substantiate himself as an Ovi. Hoyatorach Lashkias and Mitzrayim, he had a problem that the Mitzrayim threatened the Jews. It's Korat Hayam, it's Lila Mesochel. So the Yam split, and that was the end of the Mitzrayim. Tzorachnu Lamozim, the Jews needed food. He had 2.5 million people on his hands in a Midbar, with no food. Is Hoyrenoru Asamon, the Rabbi Shalom provided one. Tzomel, there was no water to drink. His bokele and his heaven, he split a stone and endless water came out. Chofru bo adas Kairach, there was a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu by Kairach. His bola is on earth. The earth opened and swallowed him to eliminate the machleikas. Mechein shokol ha'isis, all the isis, the slav, everything which took place for what reason? On the Yaakovot, because they were necessary for the Jews. Uvamahem minubo. So in what way did they have a moon in Moshe Rabbeinu? What really established Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately? the Maimar Arsinai. Maimar Arsinai. Shaineinu ra'u v'lo izor. We saw this take place ourselves. V'azneinu shomu v'lo achar. And we heard it. It's not a story that someone else told us. Ha'esh, we saw the fire, v'akoylis, and the sounds, v'alapidim, the flames, v'unigash ala rofel, and Moshe Rabbeinu enters the clouded peak of the mountain, v'akol medavar elov, and we hear the Rabbeinu Shalom speak to him, v'onu shoymen, Moshe, Moshe, leich emola, and kach v'kach. We heard the Rabbeinu Shalom speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'cheinum oymer ponim, v'fonim dibur Hashem imochem. We heard the Rabbeinu Shalom's exchange. It's not something that happened to earlier generations. We stood at the foot of our Sinai and we saw it happen. And the Rambam says, how do I know that this is really what ultimately established Moshe Rabbeinu? That this is the sole proof that it's true. So that the nation should hear while the Rabbeinu Shalom is speaking to you. By Kriyas Yamsu, by Aminu, by Shem of Moshe Abdu. It reached a new level of Amunah. But this was not one which would provide eternal faith in Moshe Rabbeinu yet. Until at Har Sinai, we heard the Rabbeinu Shalom himself say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, we heard it. Now we will accept the voice of Moshe. Bichlal Shekoyim Dovazeh. Before this time, lo haminu bo nemonu shiomedes loylom. They did not have a faith which would withstand all tests. Elo nemonus sheyesh achra hirur machshav. They believed in him, but one which could be subject to review and to skepticism. To Maimar Arsinai. So Nisan, the Rambam tells us, are done for a functional purpose. They're not to, for the purpose of faith. Nisim are that we're in a difficult situation and the situation has to be resolved and there's no, perhaps there's no resolution of it up there, so the Rabbeinu Shalom provides a supernatural resolution to the problem. But it's not, Nisim are not meant in and of themselves to establish faith. The Ramban, in a very famous comment at the end of Parshas Bo, and there the Ramban talks at length about the function of mitzvahs in the myriad number of mitzvahs which are tied to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he explains that the function of all of these nisim and the celebration of these nisim is to reinforce basic beliefs of Amunah, faith in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Hashgacha Pratis, his involvement with each and every person, his involvement with the world as a whole. All of these we focus upon by going back to Yetzias Mitzrayim and exactly how the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was involved directly with the world and with every individual. But the Ramban then says, but what is the its ultimate function of all of these nisim? Is from there, from the nisim gluyim, from the kriyas yamsuf, from the hamakas b'chayrus, we should identify the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and the nisim this time, in the hidden miracles. The hidden miracles are what the entire world stands upon. As the Ramban writes, there's no person, it's a person of faith, that believes that there's a teva. Teva would mean, in the sense, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam put the world into function, plugged it in, and that's how it disappeared. The machine just keeps functioning forever on its own. Listen, he made the best batteries. They don't run down, that's all. But it's functioning on its own. There's no Maimon believes that, the Ramban says. We believe, and the Chazalish summed it up in the most incisive way that I've ever seen. What is Teva, nature? Nature is the rotzon hayoser masmich alav Kadosh Baruch Hu, the most constant will of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's nature. But it's mechadish b'chol yom tomid maserations. Every moment, the Rabbeinu Shalom renews the world. If he wouldn't renew the world, that's it. The world will end. Just in the next second, millisecond from now, the world will cease to exist. We need the Rabbeinu Shalom to renew. And everything in the world, every force in the world exists because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam so dictates. We have the famous incident in the Gemara on Shabbos at Chol Chanina ben Dosa, that he was very poor, and it came Erev Shabbos, and they didn't have oil to light in Erev Shabbos. So he asked his children, what do we have in the house? And they said, vinegar. So he said, put the vinegar in the Erev Shabbos and light it. So they looked at him, what he told them. So he says, what's your problem? He says, Misha Omar l'shem l'hadlik, is yom l'chomet l'hadlik. What is oil light? If Kiyu Omar Vayehu, Tziva Vayamot. It's the Tzivui of the Rabbi Nishon. It's the sole reason that it lights. If the Rabbi Nishon will not desire all to light, it'll cease lighting. The Rabbi Nishon so desires the heal, the chaymets that we put into the menorah for Shabbos. He'll tell that to light. And Kachoy, it burns. The entire world to understand, the Ramban says, we look at the Nisim Gluyim for the function of understanding that the world around us is the Rabbi Nishon. Everything in the world is the Rabbi Nishon. So ultimately, the goal is not Nisim Gluyim. Those are way stations along the way. They are to inform our view of everything that we see in life. That everything in life stems from the Rabbi Nishon. That's a very important message in a world of knowledge. And a world of technology, and a world of science, it's very easy to forget that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom. When we realize that we know little about the world, so then it's very easy to have faith. But the more that we believe in ourselves, because the Rabbeinu Shalom allows us to see more and more of the chokhmah of the world, we can very easily come to believe in ourselves and forget the Rabbeinu Shalom. So it's a very important lesson. So perhaps from that standpoint, you might say, well, what was important in Hanukkah ultimately was not the Neiros. The Neiros were merely the means, the Neis Goloi, to go back and look at the Melchama and see that in the war which took place, which seemed to be a conventional war, Piderach HaTeva, with a sort of lopsided array of forces, but nevertheless a war like most other wars, to realize that that was Lemaila Piderach HaTeva. So basically, we want to look at the world and see the Rabbeinu Shalom and events in which the Rabbeinu Shalom's presence escapes us. That's the lesson we should draw from Hanukkah. We're not looking, as the Ramban tells us, for the Rabbeinu Shalom to come down on Main Street tomorrow and perform an Es Goli in the middle of Main Street, so that we'll all be strengthened in our Amunah. The Rabbeinu Shalom made Nisim at a certain point in history with Moshe Rabbeinu and Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael, and that's it. The rest is left to us. So we're not expecting a new round of Nisim. From the Nisim that we know about, we have to perceive the Rabbeinu Shalom in the world around us. So perhaps from that standpoint, since the essence of Hanukkah was the Melchama, and beyond that, we're not looking for Nisim Luyim, we're really looking at Nes Nistar. So perhaps that's what the Alan Nisim discusses. So we're a little bit further along than we were before, but I'm still not happy. Why am I not happy? I'm not happy for a number of reasons. First of all, not everyone agrees with the Maral of Prague that the Yontov was enacted because of the Nes of the Melchama. When Rashi says that we're making the Bruch of Shos and Nisan Avosenu on the Nes of the Neiros, then that would seem that that's a central aspect of the Yontov, is the Nes of the Neiros. We're making a Bruch on that Nes. So we can't say that that was merely peripheral. From Rashi, it would seem that, in fact, that's as central a point as the Melchama. Perhaps on day one, which is what Rav Aaron Zatzal alludes to, we make the Bruch of Shos HaNisim on the Melchama, because the Nes of the first day was the Melchama. The Nes of the subsequent day was the Nes of the Neiros, and that's where Rashi says Shos HaNisim is subsequently made on the Neiros. Certainly after day one, the Shos HaNisim was going on the Neiros. And that's one of the answers, in fact, why we have Hanukkah for 8 days, the miraculous burning of the oil only in 7 days. So the answer is that day one was for the Melchama, the victory in war, and the 7 additional days are to celebrate the days, the miraculous burning of the oil. But that puts the question of the Neiros Hanukkah and the Nes of the Neiros center stage. So that's the first problem. So if we don't particularly subscribe necessarily to only the view of the Maral of Prague. So we're back to square one. The Gemara focuses much more on the nest of the menorah than on the victory. There's much more play given. There's about one word for the victory, and the rest of the Gemara is to play on the nest of the menorah. And also in the Ramban at the beginning of Pashas Noso also makes me somewhat suspicious. They're very interesting in Chazal. Chazal tell us that at the time of the Chanukah Samizbeach, of the Mishkan, of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan, So we read on Chanukah that all the Nesiim brought Karbonos. Each Shevet brought on a different day. Now, we always have the problem, there are 12 Shvatim, there are 13 Shvatim. How exactly does this go? Well, the 12 Shvatim that brought included Ephraim and Manasseh. So who was the one that didn't bring? Levi was out. So Aaron, it says, felt despondent that he had no role in the Chanukah. And his Shevet had no role. So as I'll tell us, so the Rabbeinu Shel Olam told him, well, okay, b'haloyitzchos haneiros, amul p'nei ha-menorah, the mitzvah of the menorah was given to you. So the Ramban says he doesn't understand. If you want to know, did he have a role in the Chanukah? He certainly had a role in the Chanukah, Salais. Who brought all the karbonos that all the Shvatim brought? It's Aaron and his children. Without them, the Beis HaMikdash doesn't function. So, Elamai, so if you want some direct connection, a korban, etc., your own mitzvah in the Chanukah, B'Haloyis Chanas HaNeres, you still don't have it. So why was he mefuyas? What made him happy? He wasn't totally removed. And to the extent that he was removed because he didn't have his own mitzvah in the Chanukah Sabayis, he just participated in everyone else's mitzvah. So then the lighting of the Neiris is not going to help him any. He had mitzvahs already. And this is in the Chanukah Samishkan he didn't have. The Chanukah Samizbeach rather he didn't have. So why was he suddenly satisfied with the kindling of the menorah? The Ramban takes this, there's a lot of answers the one who gives to this question. The Ramban takes this in a very surprising way. And he cites two midrashim that the illusion, when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam told him that the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neiros is yours, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was not only referring to the lighting of the menorah in the Mishkan and in the Mikdash, but he was referring to the lighting of the Neiros Chanukah too. That long after his answer to Aaron was, and the pious, apparently how he placated Aaron was, that long after the Mishkan and the Mikdash ceased to exist, there will be historical relics, unfortunately, until the Mikdash HaShlishi. We'll talk about them, but they won't be here. Long after that, there's one avodah that's going to remain. No one's going to bring a korban in Klal Yisrael, and there won't be a mizbeach in Klal Yisrael. But one thing is going to remain. Through all that, those years of the Golus, of the diaspora, the Jews will continue to light the menorah. And this was the pious. This is what placated Aaron HaKohen. That the mitzvah that he's associated with is the most enduring mitzvah of the Mishkan. And I've offered, so this seems to underscore again the very special role of the Nes of the menorah. Because what are we lighting for? He's telling him, look, first and foremost, send the peace. The menorah is going to exist forever. But it seems to be a celebration of the Nes of the menorah, according to the Ramban, not of the Melchama in and of itself. And just as an aside, in this year, I always remark, what is the meaning of the Ramban? Now, in the Empire State Building, you can go in the Empire State Building, you go on the ground floor of the Empire State Building, you have the Guinness Hall of Records. When you walk in. So there we have records for everything. It was the longest cigar that ever existed, the biggest pizza pie of Facebook. You know, Americans. We're a very sports-minded society, and a sports-minded society records and who had the most endurance and vigor is significant. You know, we have little estimation of quality in all of this, and little estimation of significance. But in a sports-minded society, it's like, who won today? Who was the biggest and the best today? And the longest. So that's in our society, but it's difficult for me to imagine that Aaron HaKohen was placated because, well, you have the longest running mitzvah. You know, long they're going to put you down in the Guinness. You have there for all the celebrations in the temple, the one of Aaron, the priest, his was the longest. It doesn't cut the mustard. You know, I don't know. At that level, this is not, you know. So I realize the meaning of this is something far more significant. We talked about Shabbos, the role of the menorah as projecting the significance of Torah and Klal Yisrael. And in a very famous drash, which I first heard as a child, And yet years later, when I was first to study it in the writings of the Netziv, in Parshas Balosho, that the seven branches of the Menorah, the six outer branches, represent all the Chochmah of the world, all the secular Chochmahs that exist. And all of them, their ultimate function is Amul Panei HaMenorah, is to enhance our understanding of the central column, which is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam Torah. I mean, they're functional in this world, but beyond functionality, their ultimate role in the world is to enhance our understanding of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam Torah. And the Torah is represented by the seventh branch, the middle branch of the Menorah. That's Amul Panei HaMenorah Yerushalat HaNeiros. That all of them achieve their ultimate light and ultimate significance as they strengthen, reinforce, and illuminate the Rabbeinu Shel Olam Torah. And that is, I believe, why Aaron HaKohen was placated. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam told him, you light the menorah every day to underscore the role of Klal Yisrael in Talmud Torah, of our efforts for Talmud Torah. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam's efforts around Kotlas Atal rites are represented by the Aron. Those are the emanations of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, as the Rabbeinu Shel Olam speaks to us, B'chol Dor V'Dor. V'Yishma Atakol Midaber Elov Ben Shnei Akruvim. The voice of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam speaks, and he speaks B'chol Dor V'Dor. The Beis Halevi cites a medrash that when a person learns, and he suddenly comes to an insight into learning, where did it come from? He says, we have a silent chavrusa. Side by side with us sits the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And when we're omel b'Torah, when we put out to understand the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah, our chavrusa feeds us some good lines. The chavrusa is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The voice of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is b'chol dor v'dor. And that's the meaning that we find sometimes in the Ravid. The Ravid, at least in two places, in the Yad HaChazaka writes that Ophi Ruach HaKodesh Vaveis Medrashenu. He does not mean the Ruach in that sense of Ruach HaKodesh. But Ruach HaKodesh, we felt a special insight, a special clarity that the Shekhinah gave us, and the understanding of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. And that's B'chol Dor V'Dor. And what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam told Aaron is that symbol of Torah, of the strengthening of Torah, is in every single generation. It will be in your generation, in all the generations. That's what's significant. What emerges from that mitzvah, the impact of that mitzvah in Klal Yisrael, will continue to reverberate in all the generations. That's what's significant. And it will be enforced Klal Yisrael throughout the entire Golus. When all the other chizuk and inspiration we draw from the Migdash will lapse, but there's one inspiration that will remain from the Migdash, and that is the Neiros of Hanukkah. So this also leads me to believe of the significance of the Ness, significance of the Ness of the Menorah. So we're sort of back to square one. How do we explain why the Ness of the Menorah is not mentioned in Al Anis? So let's go forward a step. We have different types of brachos that we make. We have the Brichas HaMitzvahs. Before we do a mitzvah, we make a bracha. Whether a mitzvah deraisa, a mitzvah derabonon, we eat matzah, al achilas matzah, a mitzvah derabonon, the hadlokas neiros on Shabbos, and yontif, the hadlok neiros on Shabbos, the shal yontif, the shal yontif, the shal yontif, the shal yontif, a mitzvah. It's one type of mitzvah. We have mitzvahs, we have brachas, which have to do with bakoshes, as we have in the middle of Shmon Esrei. Slach lono avinu ki chatonu mechalonu. Those are associated with bakoshes, requests that we make of the Rabbeinu Shem. It's another type of bracha. We have brachas that Chazal call brachas shevach b'hido. Brachas of shevach and hido. A bracha that we make, brachas examples of shevach v'hido. We make an apple, we say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hayetz. So that's brachas shevach v'hido. We have brachas which are very clearly hido, a personal hido that a person gives. Shech yonah v'kimonah v'giyonah l'azman azeh, certainly a bracha of hido. A person that benches goymel, a goymel l'chayav v'toy v'shad malani kol toy, certainly a bracha of hido. So the very types of brachas. The shaila is, what is the distinction between brachas shevach and brachas haido? It's a distinction that we sort of, the Gemara mentions them on one line, brachas shevach v'haido, So it's very easy to roll right by without stopping to think about what the significance is. And I came back to it again today in consideration of this year, and I recalled, in fact, as I was formulating the idea, the difference between them, that I had heard that Rabbi Yosef Peres Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, also speak about it, the difference between Birchas Shevach and Birchas Hayadom. And there's a very central difference between them. Birchas Shevach is not one which is personally oriented. I talk about the godless of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom is Brachos Bor Elokim Eitzah Shamayim Veisolos. He created the heavens and the earth. He's Bore Priyah Eitzah. All types of things. I can speak about all the great things that the Rabbeinu Shalom does for the world. He gave them crops in India. I don't live in India, and I'm never going to eat the crops in India, but there's a billion people in India, and the Rabbeinu Shalom sustained them. Sheva, it's praise for the Rabbeinu Shalom. But it's praise from a distance, not from personal impact. Praise in the godness of the Rabbeinu Shalom, irrespective of my personal involvement in it or not. Birchas Hayadom speaks of a personal involvement, what the Rabbeinu Shalom did for me. I thank them if I recite the Birchas Hamozon, right? Birchas Hamozon is Birchas Hayadom. But that's not an abstract Hayadom. Rabbeinu Shalom, I was hungry. I just sat down. I just ate dinner. I feel good. After I ate, I'm going to have strength to go forward. So what am I doing? So I'm not just giving general Shevach that the Rabbeinu Shalom is Azonis Ayodom Kulo Betuvah in the Luften. That's true. But the Rabbeinu Shalom is Azonis Ayodom and part of the Ayodom is me. I just ate. Right. So the Ayodom is not just a general statement of what he does for the world. But I'm talking about the sorry extra. My personal involvement in the matter. That's how you do it. Yeah. In a way, in the truth is probably it's more Birchas Shevach than Birchas Hayadom. At that point. Yeah. Yeah, but again, but it's not, we're thanking, the thanks to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is, I believe, we could debate that, but I believe the thanks and the bracha that we make before we eat is for the general thing that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam did. After I eat, that's how I do. And I thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I think that's the distinction between the Bracha Rishon and the Bracha Achrona. That's all we have too. The Bracha Rishon is Shevach. You praise the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam created all types of things in the world. And we acknowledge that. That's what the Gemara says, that until we acknowledge the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, is La Hashem Oretz Amaloyah. Everything belongs to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Only after we make the Bracha, the Gemara says, it's a Shemaim Shemaim Lashem Baris Nosal of Neyodam that he gives the world to us. That's Shabbat. That's praising the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. After we eat, that's Birchas Hayadom. That's a thanks to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I just ate. I have something personal to say. I believe that's the difference between the two. Now, from that standpoint, we can come back and revisit our question again. Why in the Al HaNisim we don't mention the nets of the menorah? Well, let us ask ourselves to go. Let's go back to the Rambam's rule. The Rambam says that Nisim, the purpose of Nisim is ultimately because they were functionally necessary. Now, what did I gain from the victory of the Greeks, and what did I gain from the nets of the menorah? In real terms, from the nets concerning the Greeks, the war, I gained. We were oppressed, we were persecuted, we couldn't worship in the Mikdash appropriately, we rose up against them in battle, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam crowned us with victory. That's a very personal dimension. The nets of the menorah was for a different reason. One was its function. It was not to provide us with a need. The Rambam listed all the needs that we had in the Midbar. There was a machlokes, there was this problem, was that, etc. Well, what function did the nes of the menorah serve? It enlightened us. But it did not serve a particular need that we had. Now, consequently, I believe that our Hayadom, we cannot give Hayadom for that nes. We can acknowledge that nes and learn from that nes. But what are we doing at the end of Shmoneh Esrei? The end of Shmoneh Esrei is Haidoch. Moedi Manach Nuloch. What did I get? What I got is the Nitzochel and the Muhammad. Yeah, the Greek bothers me. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. And now I'm freed from the yoke of oppression. Now we can say Haidoch. Nisamet, Rabbi Shalom, from that we learn. That's something else. It's a totally different type of experience. Rabbi Shalom enlightened us philosophically. It's not in the same, we can't give Haidoch in the same way for that. It's not a Birchas Haidoch. We can appreciate the Rabbi Shalom and the Rabbi Shalom allowed us, etc., but it's not the same level of Haidoch. The Nisam that we did, Yitzias Mitzrayim, oh, I was in Mitzrayim, it took me out of Mitzrayim, that I could say Haidoch for. Praise the Rabbi Shalom. It has to be from the personal dimension. How does we describe it in the tefillah each day? And what's the shira? Is a shira l'Hashem ki gom al alayim for that which you've done for me. So in that sense, perhaps that the ness of the melchama was very personal. The ness of the menorah was not so personal. Not a personal thing, not a personal benefit that I got. Well, it's all collectively, it's something, it's a tool that we use to help draw us closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's true. But it was not a matter of personal salvation. And therefore, Haidor is not shy of it. Consequently, what I'm suggesting is the following. Yitochen, that the Yom Tov of Hanukkah was enacted to celebrate as much the nace of the menorah as it was the victory over the Greeks. And that we have to start. Why? It has a very serious philosophical impact. To understand the role of the Rabbeinu Shalom, his love of Klal Yisrael, the insight that we have to gain into the Rabbeinu Shalom's role in the world. Those are all very important things. And we should celebrate those things. But Haidor, perhaps, is not a personal enough dimension. The personal dimension is, what did I gain from this? I was in the Midbar and I was thirsty, you gave me a bear. I was hungry, you gave me month. My son in the midstream was chasing after me. You split open the Yamsuf and you drowned him. That's what I get. Philosophical insights are very important. And we look for inspiration, but they're not the same form of Haidor. They don't meet the human need in exactly the same way. It's good. We want to grow. We want to grow closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom, etc. But that is different than a person that feels challenged by something. And the Rabbeinu Shalom reverses that challenge with an S. That's what I have to do Haidor for. So that's my suggestion. My suggestion is that the problem is that the Alanisim is in Birchas Haidor, and Haidor needs a very personal dimension, and the very personal dimension is the oppression that the Greeks suffered from the Greeks, and that's removed. So that we can give Haidor for. The nest of the Menorah is something that we learn from, is inspirational, etc., but that's not in the realm of Haidor. It's a different thing. We can thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for it in its own way, but that's not Haidor. We thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for many things in this world. Another thing we thank the Rabbeinu Shalom, but Haidor is a very personal dimension of Ashur El Hashem Ki Gom Al Aloy, what I personally experienced, what personally has assisted me. I had a problem, the problem was resolved. So I'm suggesting that the problem is merely that Al Anisim is Birchas Haidor. And in Birchas Haidor, the Al Anisim really did the ness of the menorah has no role in that. There's a role in Hanukkah, yes. But in Haidor, the Haidor of Hanukkah is Lahaidah is Lahalel, and the Lahaidah is Lahalel is solely the ness of the Yitzchak of the Yibonim. That's the Lahaidah is Lahalel. The ness of the menorah is not the Lahaidah is Lahalel. That's a means by which we understand the significance of the Lahaidah is Lahalel. Its true impact, its true insight, its philosophical meaning. But that's not in and of itself. That's my suggestion. That's Brechas, that's not a Hanor. Mitzvah Lahunus, as the Gemara says. The Gemara, for example, the Halacha states the following. Suppose I make a neder that nobody sitting in this room could have any benefit from me whatsoever. Now you want to come to shul tomorrow morning, and I'm going to read the Torah, and you're going to be yoy to the kriyas Torah. Could you listen? But not. Nevi can benefit. Everyone wants to be yoy to the mitzvah. Mitzvah is a benefit. You're going to get olam haba for it. The answer is yes. You absolutely can. Why? Because we have a principle: mitzvahs love lehonestly. Mitzvahs are not hanok. Mitzvahs are mitzvahs. It's not part of benefit in that type of sense. There's a whole shayla in the Rishonim which surrounds the case that suppose the mitzvah has physical benefit to it as well. So do we say mitzvah lav lahonas nitu because I'm doing a mitzvah? Or you don't say mitzvah lav lahonas nitu because I'm having physical pleasure from it at the same time? That's a shayla in the Rishonim. But mitzvahs in and of themselves are lav lahonas nitu. Yeah,
promise.
So good, that's, listen, that is a very significant, and perhaps that's what generated the whole chag. Even according to any pshat, without the Nesav and the Menorah, we didn't get there. You can answer. According to the Maharami Prague, it's obvious he addressed that problem. If you don't learn like the Maharami Prague, I would suggest that it's very difficult to make a takona of the Nes when we don't know what the Nes is yet. Do we know the dimensions of the Nes? What are we going to change the Chag every day? Now in life, you have to see what you have, and then you deal with it. Until you have, I have a rule for my Talmidim in school. I told them that it has to have a mnemonic device for this rule. It's called LDQ. Which means you have to listen, you have to digest, and then question. Yeah. In a way, it's Shevach of Hashem. It's Shevach because it underscores the love the Rabbeinu Shalom had for the Jewish people. That's a question. This is the ultimate part. The Shevach is, we do not change much the Shevach. The Shevach is very fixed in the very first brachas. Yeah, Megillah certainly is Haido. I mean, we were safe. Poor Haman wanted to murder us all. Well, it's much more Haido than Shevach. It's inherent. We're talking about the basic Yisrael is the Haido. Our lives are threatened. And the Rabbeinu Shalom spared us. That certainly is Ashur al Hashem Ki Gomal Alai. The Rebbetzin invites everyone for Kibbutz and Kovat Chanukah outside of the hall.
Thank you.
Bye.